When God defends his holy name, nations rise and fall, but his faithfulness never wavers. In Ezekiel chapter 39, Israel's story becomes a warning and a wake-up call for Washington State and for America. If God restores a scattered people for his name's sake, what does that mean for how you pray and how you vote right now? Lean in, because this prophetic chapter speaks directly into our ballots, our culture, and our courage in the public square. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. And today is Old Testament Tuesday. It's one of my favorite days of the week. We have been working through the book of Ezekiel. We are in chapter 39. And so I hope that you're enjoying this series. If you are, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this inside of your huddle. Also, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your generosity. It really does help us accomplish our goal, which is to change the heart so that we change the public square. Finally, ballots are out, so get out the vote. Find 10 people and steward 10 ballots to win. In other words, we want to encourage you to sit down, teach the next generation the importance of voting, encourage them to fill out their ballots and to turn in those ballots. Many people don't recognize that in the primary is when, as conservatives in Washington State, we have the most influence during election, because voter turnout is usually a little bit lower. So want to encourage you to steward 10 to win. Get those ballots turned in. And if you have any questions about that, you can go to fpiwaction.org and check out voting. And we can try to answer as many questions as possible. All right, so we are in Ezekiel chapter 39. Now, just as a reminder, 38 was the Ezekiel 38 war, and 39 we begin. It's about 29 verses, and so we're going to dive into God's word and let it change our hearts. It says, "And you, son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and I will turn you around and drive you on, take you up from the remotest parts of the north, and bring you against the mountains of Israel." So when we look at this, we see that what is the remotest parts of the north, north of Israel? Well, right now it's Russia. So this could be Russia. And he says, I strike your bow from your left hand and dash down your arrows from your right hand. You will fall on the mountains of Israel, you and all your troops and the peoples who are with you. I will give you as food to every kind of predatory bird and beast of the field. You will fall on the open field, for it is I who have spoken, declares the Lord. So we see, like, in this Ezekiel war, Persia's mentioned, Tubal's mentioned, a number of different countries and nations are mentioned, Ethiopia, I'm trying to find it. Anyways, there's just a number of them in there. And I don't know, we might be seeing some of this being set up today with Iran. We don't know. It could be something that's there. And so that's kind of exciting to continue to live in prophetic times. He says this in verse 6, "And I will send fire upon Magog and those who inhabit the coastlands in safety, and they will know that I am the Lord." Are you noticing this? Declares the Lord, they may know that I am the Lord. "My holy name I will make known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let my holy name be profaned anymore." So God right here says, once again, I will make known in the midst of my people Israel. Israel are the people of God. God has a nation. God has a bride. Why? He's sovereign. He can have two things at once. I will not let my holy name be profaned anymore. So, and the nations will know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. So one of the things that we're going to see is that what is happening in Israel today is to allow the nations, which the United States is one of those nations, to know that God is God. Do you think our country needs to be aware of that a little bit more? I mean, think about where we are in fraud, where we are in culture, where we are in all the things of our society. Do you think that we need to get back to the place where we understand that God is God? I think so. I truly think that we need to get back to that place. I'm trying to find my mouse here. Here we go. We need to get back to that place and know that God is God. So we see this. Behold, it is coming and it shall be done, declares the Lord God, that is the day of which I have spoken. Then those who inhabit the cities of Israel will go out and make fires with the weapons and burn them, both shields and bucklers, bows and arrows, war clubs and spears. And for 7 years, they will make fires of them. They will not take wood from the field or gather firewood from the forest, for they will make fires with the weapons, and they will take the spoil of those who despoiled them and seize the plunder of those who plundered them, declares the Lord. So God defeats Gog completely. God defeats Gog completely in Ezekiel 39, 1 through 10. So in verses 11 through 16, Israel buries the dead and cleanses the land. Let's look at that. On that day, I will give Gog a burial ground there in Israel, the valley of those who pass by east of the sea, and it will block off those who would pass by. So they will bury Gog there with all his horde, and they will call it the valley of Hamagog. For 7 months, the house of Israel will be burning them in order to cleanse the land. Even all the peoples of the land will bury them, and it will be to their renown on that day that I glorify God, declares the Lord God. They will set apart men who will constantly pass through the land, burying those who were passing through, even those left on the surface of the ground, in order to cleanse it. At the end of 7 months, they will make a search. As those who pass through the land pass through, and anyone sees a man's bone, when he will set up a marker by it until the buriers have buried it in the valley of Hamagog. And even the name of the city will be Hamana. So they will cleanse the land. As for you, son of man, thus says the Lord God. So he goes on after this. So we see that Israel is going to cleanse the land. And they're going to move on this. Now, some say, how literal do we take this? I don't know. I take it very literally. I mean, it's a prophecy. Ezekiel's speaking here about the future of what is to come. And I think we should take it as literal as possible. In this text, there's not information like words like this or appeared to be like that. This is absolute language that this is what's going to happen. So let's take it literally and just know that this time is a future battle and then cleansing of the land after that battle. All right. Verse 17 through 20 is God calls the birds and the beasts of the feast to the feast of judgment. It says this, as for you, son of man, thus saith the Lord God, speak to every kind of bird and to every beast of the field, assemble and come gather from every side to my sacrifice, which I am going to sacrifice for you as a great sacrifice on the mountains of Israel, that you may eat flesh and drink blood. You will eat the flesh of mighty men and drink the blood of the prince of the earth, as though they were rams, lambs, goats, and bulls, all of them, fattening of Bashan. So you will eat until you are glutted and drink blood until you are drunk from my sacrifice, which I have sacrificed for you. You will be glutted at my table, it was hyphenated, it was confusing me, at my table with the horses and chariots, with mighty men and all the men of war, declares the Lord God. So we see that God brings in the birds to cleanse the land. It says this, and I will set my glory among the nations, and all the nations will see my judgment, which I will have executed, and my hand, which I have laid on them. And the house of Israel will know that I am the Lord their God from the day that day onward. Did you notice how God is saying this Gog and Magog war, the winning is going to be for the glory of God, and that he begins to say it's for all the nations that they may know that I am the Lord God. Here they say it so Israel will know. This is why the argument that Israel is in some form of rebellion right now, and that proves that they're not the people of God. Actually, the book of Ezekiel contends with that or protests to that, because it says that this point on, they're going to know that God is God. Now look at this. The nations will know that the house of Israel went into exile for their iniquity, because they acted treacherously against me, and I had hid my face from them. So I gave them into the hand of their adversaries, and all of them fell by the sword. According to the uncleanliness and according to their transgressions, I had dealt with them, and I hid my face from them. So we're going to see in this last little part that Israel is going to be restored. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, now I will restore fortunes of Jacob or Israel and have mercy on the whole house of Israel, and I will be jealous for my holy name. This is the thing that people are missing, like Tucker Carlson and others. Israel isn't Israel for Israel's sake. Israel is Israel because God chose Israel to be his nation. And it's about God's holy name. Look at this. This comes up again from before. God's holy name is what's taking place here. It says, they will forget their disgrace and all their treachery, which they perpetuated against me when they live securely on their own land with no one to make them afraid. Wow. When I bring them back from the peoples and gather them from the lands of their enemies, then I shall be sanctified through them in the sight of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord their God, because I made them go into exile among the nations and then gathered them again to their own land, and I will leave none of them there any longer. So we see that in 70 AD, Israel was scattered to the nations. And we see in 1948, they were regathered back into the land. I will not hide my face from them any longer, for I will have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, declares the Lord God. So some of this we just read. I know that in the next few chapters, chapters 40 onward, it's going to get into the future temple during the millennial reign. And there's going to be lots of measurements. I don't know if I'm going to read all those measurements, but we're going to read key parts of those chapters in the future about the outer temple and the inner temple as we go. But here's the point for today. God is a faithful God. He's been faithful. Why? Because of his holy name. And we may be here in Washington State thinking, God, are you faithful? Yeah. As the bride of Christ, as the Gentiles who've been grafted in, we understand one important thing. God is a faithful God. And it's for his name's sake, not because of us, not because of our goodness or our works or our abilities, but it's for his name's sake. That's why we intercede. And that's why we vote. And that's why we stand for righteousness in the public square, because we want God to be glorified and that his name be proclaimed as holy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We do pray that as we go throughout our week, God, that you would give us wisdom, that, Lord, we know that on our ballots, there's not any human being that in and of themselves is 100% righteous, God. But Lord, we ask that you'll give us wisdom to discern between those that want to glorify you and those that want to glorify themselves. Give us the wisdom that those who will stand for righteousness and those who will stand for sensuality and for sin. God, we know that you are able to move beyond all that we could dream of or imagine. God, we lift up Governor Bob Ferguson, and we pray for salvation to come to his house. We lift up President Trump. We pray for salvation to come to his house. We lift up Maria Cantwell and Patty Murray and many others, God, that salvation will come. God, would you give boldness once again to our elected officials to stand for righteousness? And it's not self-righteousness or self-defined righteousness, but it's the holiness that comes from your throne room. God, go before us in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Now get out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.